This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. It was back in May that the Calgary Roughnecks won the National Lacrosse League Championship, beating the Buffalo Bandits in overtime.
Oh, and King gets the rebound. Fresh 30 Roughnecks. King. Riley Lowen. Shot. Score! Restart! Overtime hero! Roughnecks win it! Roughnecks win it! Calgary are your 2019 champions!
The NLL, the largest men's professional lacrosse league, has released its schedule for the upcoming 2019-2020 regular season. It will involve 13 teams, including the expansion New York Riptide and the Rochester Nighthawks.
The New York Riptide, a team anchored in Long Island, a place synonymous with the sport of lacrosse. And the Rochester Nighthawks, a familiar name with a new look and soon a new roster. The stage will be set come December, and history begins now.
That's Devin Caney from the National Lacrosse League's expansion show a couple of months ago. Now let's head to New York City and the Marriott Essex to meet our guest on Sports Jam. She's the new deputy commissioner of the National Lacrosse League, Jessica Berman. Jessica, congratulations on being the first woman to hold the title of deputy commissioner at any professional sports league in North America, and now you are the Deputy Commissioner and Executive Vice President of Business Affairs for the National Lacrosse League after so many years with the National Hockey League. Welcome to Sports Jam.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I know you were passionate about this game of hockey for so long. It started on your 16th birthday party. So tell me why you wanted to switch after 13 years with the National Hockey League that you want to go to the NLL.
Sure. Well, I could say I'm still passionate about hockey, and one of the requirements of me taking this job from my kids is that we could still be hockey fans, so that'll never go away. I, of course, am really excited about this opportunity to work with Nick and the National Lacrosse League, mostly because I'm excited about working for a business and a property that's growing and in a growth mode. And with the work that I've done over the last specifically 4 years about growing the fan base in hockey to be more focused on reaching new audiences, I think there's a huge opportunity with lacrosse given some of the similarities that exist in the cultures of the game. So I'm really just excited to learn a new area, to challenge myself, to grow, to work around new and exciting people with new ideas and collaborate with them. So we have an expansion team coming into New York with the Riptide. They're going to be playing at Nassau Coliseum. And for me personally, I'm really excited to have that in my backyard as a way for me to have access to the game and be more familiar with the product and attend a lot of games locally in my backyard.
You know, Jessica, the average person has no clue not only how to run a team, but how to run a league. So tell us, with your strong background, you know, having graduated from the Fordham University School of Law, then you went to the University of Michigan School of Kinesiology for sports management and communications, and then all this experience. How difficult is it?
It's very challenging to run a league. I think one of the challenges in running a league is that you wear a lot of different hats. You're responsible for the growth of the league and the vision from a national or sometimes international perspective, but then you're also responsible for each of these individual franchises and helping them to build their capacity, share best practices, and be a support mechanism. But you also sometimes need to wear the hat of ensuring that you're setting the standards and, from a compliance perspective, creating an environment where everybody understands what's expected of them and are a good communicator about guidelines and policies and protocols. So I think the biggest challenge of a league, and what I've observed over my 13 years having worn a lot of hats there, is that you have to be really nimble. And like most areas of business, it's relationship before task always. So when you have to have a hard conversation, whether it's with a union or with a team or with a player or with a business partner, you're able to really draw on the credibility of your relationship to ensure that you're reaching the outcome that you need to reach.
Was this just another natural progression for you in your career, or is it much more because now you're the first woman executive in this role?
For me, this is probably the progression the next step in my career that makes the most sense. It allows me to really roll up all of the different experience that I've had at the NHL into one job, which is really unique. There probably aren't many opportunities out there that are would allow me to do both the legal and the business side and then stretch into new areas. And I think because of the size of the NLL and the fact that they're on such a growth trajectory, and with the support and mentorship of Nick, I'll be able to really stretch and learn and also leverage all the experience that I've had for the last 15 to 20 years of my career in sports.
You've described yourself as inquisitive, not shy, and someone who brings people together, bridges gaps, reaching new audiences. It sounds like the perfect role. You have a perfect job for who you are, I guess, right?
I hope that that's true. I like to think of myself in those ways. I think my parents actually refer to me as a people collector. I tend to really focus on relationships, and that's always served me really well in my life, both personally and professionally. And so I think in my experience, the people who know me and have worked closely with me, whether it was in a collaborative way or potentially even adversarial, like the NHLPA, they would describe me as hardworking and tenacious, but also always respectful. And so I really try to maintain the balance of ensuring that I'm working to find a solution that's mutually agreeable, and that's always been my approach and something that I learned really from day one in my career working for my mentor, Bob Batterman, who's a renowned sports labor lawyer and really trained me in the concept of building labor relations with the idea that it's a marriage that you really can't get a divorce. You have to find a way to work it out. And I really take those principles and try to apply them not just in labor relations, but in other things that I do in my career.
Do you find it difficult to get across to fans what really has to happen? You know, take the National Hockey League and contracts and things like that. You know, people are always saying, the average person, I'll get back to that, just can't really focus on these large salaries. Now, in the National Lacrosse League, the salaries aren't nearly comparable to some of the other sports. But is it difficult to get that across to fans, what that all is about?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand because I think it gives you a greater appreciation of the business. Just like in today's world, outside of sports, where you're talking about corporate America, I think people are paying more attention to how businesses operate, more because they want to understand who they're supporting with both their money and their time. I think that's an expectation, certainly of the next generation of consumers and fans. And it's one of the reasons that 4 years ago I asked Commissioner Bettman if I could create this role focused on corporate social responsibility, not just because I thought it was an opportunity for hockey to demonstrate that it's a good corporate citizen, but because I genuinely believe that the next generation of fans is demanding that sports entities that they support are intertwined and tuned in and more aligned with the community's objectives. And so I think the more people understand behind the scenes who is running the leagues, what their objectives are, how they approach business, the more of a connection they'll create to the brand.
You were a cheerleader for a couple of different sports, but I kind of teased at the top that it was your 16th birthday, that a whole love affair kind of with the sport of hockey developed. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Sure. Well, I was a cheerleader. I was a dance major, actually, until I decided to go into sport management. So when people ask me if I was an athlete, I say I was an athlete, but not in the traditional sense, not in the team sport sense. And for my 16th birthday, my parents took me and some friends to an Islander game. And at that game, I witnessed two fans embrace following a goal. And the fans were very different in terms of their backgrounds. And it was clear to me that not only were they not together, but they had never met before. And I grew up in Brooklyn, which is a melting pot of people from different backgrounds. And I've always been fascinated by what separates people, but more importantly, what brings people together. And it was an epiphany for me that in my career, I wanted to work in sports in some capacity. And at that point, I wasn't 100% sure what it would be, but I knew I wanted to be part of working in an industry that united people and really melted away those differences. And having witnessed that moment, it was the thing that made me, some people might say, obsessed with working in sports and kind of started a series of internships and jobs that I did in my career to get me to this point.
We're speaking with Jessica Berman, the Deputy Commissioner and Executive VP of Business Affairs of the National Lacrosse League. She just changed over from the National Hockey League to this position, and now we have word of a New York team coming. But I wanted to talk to you about Calgary won the NLL Cup last year, and Toronto Raptors win the NBA championship. And so we see, and could have very well been had a hockey champion from Canada should the Maple Leafs ever get by Boston in the playoffs. But it's an exciting kind of thing with Canada and the U.S. really in these sports that seem to be coming together more and more. Do you see that as something that's exciting to you?
Absolutely. And I've spent a lot of time in Canada in my 13 years at the NHL. I like to say Toronto is my home away from home. But I also think what's really exciting about Canadian culture is the way that they've embraced new demographics and shifting demographics that everyone's talking about now in our country, in the U.S., has been happening in Canada for a long time. And so I think we have a lot we could learn from the way that country has sort of embraced both old and new properties. And so I think the kind of connectivity between the U.S. and Canada certainly exists, but there's also a lot of differences in the culture. And I'm excited that I have experience and have worked for a brand that has such a presence in Canada, because I'm quite familiar with the culture that exists in Canada.
Picked off there by Currier. 6.5 remaining. 1-1's your score. Shot 7-5 in favor of the Bandits. Lowen underneath. Scores! Lowen wasn't picked up by the Bandits D. He gets underneath and goes far side on Matt Bates. Restores the lead. 2-1 Roughneck.
Indoor lacrosse is so exciting. It's same as hockey. When you're there, you appreciate it much more when you see it live. And this league has been able to continue to grow, but when they had the New Jersey Storm, I happened to be the PA announcer at the Continental Airlines Arena. I just love this and wished at that point so many more people would have physically come to watch, because everybody who did loved this sport.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the similarities that exist between these two games, right? The enclosed environment, the physicality of it, the amazing athleticism that the athletes exhibit, I think are all things that transcend hockey and the box lacrosse game. And so it'll be our challenge, and Nick is super focused on expansion to create more opportunities for people to come to the games and watch them live. But now with our new media deal and our partner with Turner and BR Live, I think the broadcast product has reached the point where it's really more than consumable on digital streaming, and so fans can access it from anywhere at any time. And I had the opportunity during my due diligence process when I was getting to know Nick to watch some games when I was trying to learn more about the sport and specifically about the media advantages that exist in the game. And I think there's huge opportunity there for people to sample it and ultimately experience it.
You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, and my guest is Jessica Berman, the Deputy Commissioner and Executive Vice President of Business Affairs for the National Lacrosse League. She works closely with Commissioner Nick Sakevich as they look forward to the new season. Let's head back to New York City and find out more about Jessica Berman. Boys and girls love the sport of lacrosse. It continues to grow in the U.S. I know my daughter played it and loved it. And when she first told me she was going to play, I said, you know, you just don't play lacrosse. You have to know this skill. I can't help you with this skill. So eventually she became a goalie. But it's something that a lot of people now are exposed to. So back many years ago, this wasn't the case. So why do you think lacrosse has caught on so much, especially at the high school level?
Well, I think lacrosse is catching on to today's youth because of the same reasons that it's exciting to watch now, today, the box lacrosse game. It's physical, it's fast-paced, and it requires really deep athleticism. And I think kids today get so little access to physical activity that I can say this from a parent's perspective. This is less from like a lacrosse executive's perspective, but from a parent's perspective, if I'm going to invest the time and money in getting my kids to play sports, sports. I want to know that they're going to learn life skills, which lacrosse certainly teaches in the way that it's so team-oriented, like hockey, but also get a good workout, right? Because kids today are so sedentary, they're losing access to physical activity, and there's an epidemic going on in our country as it relates to the health system because of how inactive kids are. And so I think all of those factors bode well for the sport of lacrosse at the youth level, because parents want their kids to be physically active and it's fun. And ultimately, kids want to have fun. That's what they want to do. And I know my kids love playing sports that where they can be physically active. They happen to both play hockey. My 8-year-old promises to try lacrosse this year, so I'm excited for that. And so I think those are all the reasons that you're seeing it take off. And it's sort of debunking the trends that exist today where youth sports are declining, especially in team sports, but lacrosse is increasing.
Any possibility of a New Jersey team down the line?
Well, you asked Nick that question, and Nick said, we're working on it and lots of other markets. So we're excited to focus on expansion, and I know expansion is a top priority for Nick, and since he's taken over, he's taken the league from 9 to 13 teams in a really short period of time. Having been at a league that has expanded, I know how hard that is and what toll it takes on the schedule and the whole league's operations in terms of scaling up. So I'm very impressed with what he's been able to accomplish. He's assured me that we haven't seen anything yet and there's more to come. And so whether it's New Jersey or other markets, I suspect that there'll be more expansion on the horizon for us.
Recently, I saw online your Soul on Ice talks at Google regarding diversity in the sport of hockey. Do you plan on bringing that same kind of diversity approach to the National Lacrosse League?
Yeah, for me, diversity and inclusion is just a way of being. And having grown up in a place where I was the minority, I am very sensitive to and conscious of inclusion. And so I can't not bring it to the table. It's something that is embedded in how I approach everything I do, including business decisions. I'll always try to seek out perspectives from people who are different from me in terms of their background, because I know that they'll challenge my thinking. And I think that only makes us better. And I think perhaps being a lawyer by training, I'm more comfortable with debate and discussion maybe than some other folks might be. And so it makes me really be able to embrace working with people who are from different backgrounds. I think the sport of lacrosse in particular, one thing I'm really excited about, and I've chatted a lot with Nick about it, is the connection back to the indigenous community. I think there's a lot more we could do to celebrate that history. I'm really excited to do that. We've done some of that work at the NHL level and really tried to connect back to those communities, and I think we'll be doing a lot of that at the NLL.
So your 16th birthday was a big thing for you growing up in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
So growing up in Brooklyn, before that, can you take us back to when you were a kid that this whole inclusion and everybody's the same and should be treated the same, where did that start? Where did you learn that? And how did that develop?
Yeah, well, for me, I think it comes back to family. And my parents, and specifically my dad, took me all the time to places that were different from where we would spend our free time, really with an intentional effort to open my eyes to the world that existed beyond the four corners of our house. And I remember every Sunday we'd go to Coney Island, and that was not necessarily our crowd per se, but he would talk to everyone and anyone there, the people who worked at Nathan's, the people who worked at the roller coaster. We would get into conversations with people who were homeless. He believed that we should share what we have and talk to people and learn from different people's backgrounds. And he really was raised that way and lives that even today. He's 82. And so I think he just kind of embed that into me. And so I've just carried it with me. And I think it's just a beautiful thing when you get to learn from people who see things differently from you. That's a gift.
You've had so much success in your career. What's been the comment that Dad has given you since then that has meant the most to you?
Oh, I say my parents, really, not just my dad. There are co-presidents of my fan club. And then if my kids were here, they would say, no, we're presidents of her fan club. So I feel like I have a lot of people, not just the four of them, who have been supporting me, rooting for me, making accommodations for me. I believe in the saying of it takes a village. And for me to be able to do what I do every day and have done for the last 15 to 20 years, I've needed a lot of people to support me, not just with my kids, but in life. And so I'm really thankful that I know how to ask for help and that I'm not afraid to, and that people have been willing to champion my success and put me in a position to be able to take this next leap.
How difficult really was it for you, you know, having such a long run at the National Hockey League? It's not like the National Lacrosse League is a risk, but are you a risk taker now in this part of your life, you know, where obviously you probably could have stayed at the NHL for a long time, but you decided to change?
Yeah, no, I think for me, it was definitely an intentional effort to give myself a little kick in the butt and to say, I can do something different. I could put myself in a situation where I can feel a little bit uncomfortable and challenged. And I've done that before when I asked Commissioner Bettman if I could move roles 4 years ago. But this is a next level shakeup for sure. But I think as people get older, they tend to become a little more risk averse, and I could feel that happening in some ways, and I didn't want that outcome, and so I had to really take a look at this opportunity when it was presented to me and ask myself whether it's going to make me better, and does it have the opportunity to lead me closer to my potential, my true potential. And so on balance, I think it was the right decision for me. How hard was it? It was super hard for me to leave the NHL. A lot of people have said that they didn't believe that I would ever do it. I think a lot of people feel that my identity is somewhat intertwined with the NHL. I feel that way at times. So I'm disentangling and going to build my new identity as someone who's working as an executive in lacrosse, but more broadly as a sports executive who doesn't just know hockey. And I'm excited for those challenges.
As a sports executive, do we need to have classes like at the high school level so that some of these athletes kind of get a sense of how it all works? You know, we see so many kids who are talented and then kind of get lost in the shuffle and think that this is, you know, that this is the only way they can succeed is to have a career in sports. But they need to know the business better, don't they?
Yeah, I think there's great opportunity. I know I took those opportunities when I was in high school and college to intern and do statistics and write press releases and work with media and do stories on different athletes or games. And I think for an athlete, certainly there's an opportunity to leverage that to learn the business side of the game. And frankly, even though I was a dancer and like to think of myself as an athlete, I've always told former players who I speak with from the NHL, who I speak with often, as well as women who are coming up the ranks or who played for the national team here, that having played the actual game when you're trying to work in the sport is such a huge advantage that I could never attain. No matter how hard I work, I will never be able to say I played hockey growing up or I played lacrosse growing up. I have the benefit of having children, so I can live a little bit vicariously through them, which gives me some really good knowledge and information about the game and how it's played and what today's culture is for youth. But I'll never be able to say I played the game. And so there's a differentiator there. And so for any athletes out there who love a particular sport, I would say know that you have a huge advantage that not everybody has. And you should explore that if you have passion for the game. I'm sure there's a lot you could contribute to its growth.
There's a big national lacrosse, maybe it's the first game you're involved with. You're not allowed to mention family, and you're not allowed to mention the brass of the National Hockey League. Let's talk players. You can take three players and put them in the stands to sit next to your family and watch the game. Do you have a relationship with three individual players that it can be from the past or current that you would like to see come and enjoy this National Lacrosse League game?
Do you mean from hockey, from the NHL? Oh, my God, absolutely. Well, I have already had conversations with some, including those who I work most closely with today. Pat LaFontaine, Brian Trottier, and Andrew Ferentz are three that I've spoken with. I've also spoken to Brendan Shanahan about coming to a game with me. So those are four that in the last week I've spoken with about coming to a game with me. And other than Pat, I think all of those individuals played lacrosse. I know Brendan Shanahan, and I didn't know this, but he told me that he actually, his first love was lacrosse, and that his family is a lacrosse family, and probably if playing professionally were an option that could compete with playing hockey from a career perspective, he might have even played lacrosse. So I thought that was really interesting. It sort of piqued my interest, and I started to do some research and learned that a lot of our hockey players played not just lacrosse, but indoor lacrosse, box lacrosse. And I know Wayne Gretzky, as an example, played box lacrosse and actually attributes a lot of his athleticism and his game acumen to having played box lacrosse. So there's a lot of crossover that exists between the two sports, and especially among the Canadians. So I intend to take a lot of my fellow hockey people who I feel safe with to some lacrosse games and hope that they'll school me on the things that I need to understand and learn.
One last question as we wrap up this edition of Sports Jam with Jessica Berman. I tell my students sometimes that if I do a different radio station for the first time or a different thing, that you do get butterflies, you do get nervous, but that's because you care. Have the butterflies come into Jessica Berman with this new position?
Oh, I definitely get butterflies. I think that for me, anticipation creates butterflies. Once I'm in the situation, I usually feel pretty good. But there's been a lot of anticipation for this. We've been waiting for this announcement. There was a lot to figure out on the NHL side, a lot to negotiate on the NLL side. I'm someone who's a doer, so transitions are not necessarily my strength because I have to kind of pause and wait and be patient. So I learned a lot in this process about patience and how to get there, how to get to that point. But, yeah, I think that's really good advice and important for people to know that everybody gets nervous about things, and you just have to know yourself and know how to what to expect and when and be ready for it and then tackle it.
So the indoor floor is yours for the NLL. What do you want to tell people? Is there anything that you would like to tell them about this league? It's been around for a long time, but there's a lot of new exciting things happening, including yourself.
Yeah, well, going into our 34th season, we have lots of opportunities to come and attend games in 13 markets across North America, and lots of opportunities to watch on your phone and digitally through BR Live. So come try it. I think you'll like it. And play the game, because I think getting out there and playing is one of the ways that we've seen in the NHL a real path to fandom. So I hope people will come out and give it a try.
Congratulations on a great run with the National Hockey League, and best of luck in your new position as the Deputy Commissioner and Executive VP of Business Affairs for the National Lacrosse League. Jessica Berman, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the podcasts by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for his help with the show. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.